Well, thank you and welcome to the session. I'm actually surprised to see there are not more than five people here, given that this is the last session, the last day, and it's lunchtime. So I assume that all of y'all are very interested in this topic. So I hope, and I'm looking forward to the other presentations. So I think it's going to be great. So as we have heard over the last 3 days or so, there's been a lot of research going on looking at the association, the food environment, and then BMI and dietary behaviors of people, especially people living in low-income communities. But there hasn't been a lot of research, or there doesn't seem to be a lot of research, looking at actual effects of strategies to increase access and then also dietary behaviors. So what I'd like to present today is a small pilot study in which we placed farm stands in low-income communities to see if this actually made a difference in terms of food access and also in fruit and vegetable intake among the community members that lived around the farm stands. And this study was a collaboration between the researchers at the UT School of Public Health in Austin and the Sustainable Food Center, which is an Austin-based nonprofit organization with a mission to promote locally grown foods in low-income communities in Austin. And I have nothing to disclose in terms of financial relationships. And I think I'm going to go through these background slides pretty quickly. Y'all have been here for 3 days. You know all this. But basically, if we look at data, people in America are not eating the recommended number of fruits and vegetables. And lack of access to fruit and vegetables and healthy foods does seem to be a significant risk factor, especially in communities where people of low income status live. And so there are disparities in who has access. And again, you've already heard some of this research over the past couple days. And so there are some recent activities trying to increase access to people in low income communities. And some of those activities include establishing new grocery stores, and the Food Trust has been doing a lot of that research in that area. There's some research going on with mobile produce carts, where they actually put those carts in low-income communities and they sell the produce. There's some research where they're trying to include fruits and vegetables in convenience stores, and they're measuring those effects. And they also have another strategy would be to place farmers markets in low-income communities. And there's several advantages of farmers markets. First of all, they're relatively inexpensive to set up. I mean, of course, it still takes money. And it takes a lot of coordination. I'm not taking anything away from the amount of work that it takes to put farmers markets into communities. But compared to, for example, putting grocery stores in communities, it's less expensive. Secondly, another advantage is that this supports local farmers who tend to be another low-income population group. Quality of produce at farmers markets tend to be greater than produce you can find at other grocery stores, especially in low-income communities. And therefore, you know, higher quality, better taste, and then maybe more incentives to eat more fruits and vegetables. I think farmers markets are also an ideal location for other health promotion activities. It could be cooking demonstrations, it could be giving out recipe cards, taste testing, etc. I think there's actually a lot of room for new and creative activities that we're not currently doing, but I think this is an area of research that's also very interesting. What kind of health promotion activities can be implemented at farmers markets? Another advantage is that farmers markets really only tend to offer healthy foods, as opposed to grocery stores. If you put new grocery stores in a community, you're increasing access to both healthy and unhealthy foods as well. So these are just a few of the advantages. I'm sure everybody can come up with more. I haven't even touched on the environmental impact, et cetera, of locally grown foods. So there have been studies that have looked at the impact of farmers markets, but usually those studies are in conjunction with either financial incentives or other health promotion activities. There has not been much research that has looked at just, you know, what is the impact of just putting a farmer's market in a community? I mean, do people come to it? I mean, you know, what happens? So that was what we wanted to do with this study. We really wanted to just evaluate, you know, the impact of just an environmental strategy without any other health promotion activities. I mean, does, you know, kind of like, you know, if you build it, do they come? And So, and this is also somewhat based on some focus group studies that we did before this, where people in the community actually said that they would come to the farmer's market and they would actually really appreciate that. This study is done in Austin, Texas, and we have several big farmer's markets in Austin. I think we probably have five on a weekly basis. But none of the people that we interviewed actually go to those farmer's markets. And when asked why not, of course, transportation was an issue. But then secondly, they said they just didn't feel comfortable. They felt that those were for those other people, you know, the yuppie white people, and they didn't feel comfortable going to those farmer's markets. So the communities that we are working in are in East Austin, which is predominantly mostly Hispanic populations and very low income. So again, we're looking at the effects of, and we placed two farm stands in East Austin, and we wanted to see what are the effects on fruit and vegetable access and consumption of people who live within a half mile radius around those farm stands. And we looked at fruit and vegetable intake, awareness and uses of farm stands. We looked at family behaviors, mostly did they prepare more food meals with fruits and vegetables in it, and then also their perceived importance of eating fruits and vegetables. I'm going to skip real quick over here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the farm stand intervention before I talk about the study. So again, farm stands can have different meanings. For this study, what it meant is that we have from 2 to 4 farmers come together in a central location, basically put out big tables and sold the produce that they grow. One of the advantages of Texas is that we have a very long growing season. We actually have 2 growing seasons, so we have locally grown produce all year round. And so we also have a high variety. We made sure that the farmers that were taking part in this study were really aware of the culturally preferences of Hispanic populations. So they made sure they had a lot of tomatoes, peppers, etc. for sale at their farm stands. So this is an 8-week intervention. And the farm stands were in place once a week for 2 to 3 hours, maybe 3 to 4 hours actually. And at the same time every week. And again, multiple farmers would get together. I have some slides. So this is basically, I mean, it's very low-tech, low-key. WIC participants were able to use their farmers market nutrition program vouchers at these farm stands. And the EBT, they were also able to take EBT at the farm stands, which are for SNAP benefits. And here's another slide. Okay, now let me see if I can go back. I hope this works. Yes. Okay. So, like I said to begin with, this was a pilot study. It was a very small study. We didn't have a lot of money to do this. But it was longitudinal pre-post, and we did not have a comparison group. And the setting, again, was East Austin. So this is a community with very low income, ethnically diverse, and very little access to healthful foods. East Austin is a pretty big area and it only has 2 fully stocked grocery stores. And interestingly enough, the bus routes don't necessarily go to those grocery stores. So transportation is an issue. For the recruitment for the study, we did door-to-door recruitment of residents. So again, we had 2 farm stands. We drew a circle of half-mile radius around the farm stands, then randomly picked streets in that study area and approached every house on that street that seemed safe. I mean, there were some houses where there were loose dogs, houses with a closed fence around it we didn't go into. So we tried to approach all the houses, but we didn't go to all the houses there. And then I will tell you a little bit more later about our actual experience with doing this and how many people we had to approach to get our sample of 97. And then for the analysis, we did simple t-test pre and post comparisons. Again, this was a small sample. We didn't have the power to do sophisticated statistical analyses. So again, so this is a pre-post test survey. So we asked participants to take our farm stand survey, which is a very creative name for our instrument, at baseline, so before the farm stands were implemented, and then 2 to 3 months later after the farm stands were no longer there. And we had a validated short fruit and vegetable screener to measure fruit and vegetable intake. This particular screen is called the DATH. It's the Dietary Assessment Tool for Hispanic, and it's based on the NCI Fruit and Vegetable Screener, but adapted for Hispanic populations. We have then also items measuring awareness and usage of farm stands. Again, family behaviors related to fruit and vegetable consumption and perceived importance of eating fruits and vegetables. We also had demographic questions, and we had all the, you know, the regular gender, ethnicity, etc. We included also acculturation level and then food insecurity. Again, using validated items or scales. Let me skip through these again. So for the results, what I'd like to start with is the number of people that we actually recruited. So at baseline, we approached about 312 homes in our two study areas, and at those homes, in 179, there was actually somebody who answered the door. Now, let me back up. So we also recruited at different times of the day. We wanted to make sure we had a random sample of participants, so we had time slots from like 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and then 3 to 6. And again, so there are a lot of homes, there was just nobody home. But of the homes, there was 179 homes for somebody to actually open the door. We got 97 people that were eligible and agreed to participate in our study. And they did receive an incentive. It was a very small incentive to participate. So if they agreed and signed a consent form, we asked them to complete the survey right there and then. In some cases, they could do that. It was not a very long survey. In some cases, they asked us to come back in 20 minutes or so. So sometimes we did that. And then in some cases, they asked us if they could mail the survey to us. And if in that case, we'd give them a self-addressed stamped envelope, self-addressed to us, and they would complete the survey and mail it to us. So we ended up with 97 surveys. 92 of those were usable. And then so 2 months later, we called everybody. We tried to call everybody. And so of the 92 people that we tried to call, we got a hold of 74 people. So that's who we have completed pre- and post-test data for. So that's the 74 people that are included in this analysis. So not surprisingly, it's mostly females. Mostly Hispanics, although we had a good portion of African-American participants as well. Very low income, almost 80%, made less than $2,000 a month. Also, 67 responded they were sometimes or always food insecure, 45% were SNAP participants. So in terms of the results, I have less than 4 minutes, so let me go through this quickly. I'm only going to address the significant results. But again, so these were pre-post test changes. And so it did show that people who, or that the participants responded more often that they did buy fresh fruits or vegetables at the markets in their neighborhoods, that they were aware of these markets, and also they increased in their perceived importance, how important they felt it was to eat fruits and vegetables. And now these are the interesting results, at least I think so. So these are changes in fruit and vegetable intake. And if you look at the last line, if you look at total fruit and vegetable intake, there was no significant change. But if you look at some of the individual items, we did see changes. And so we saw changes for fruit juice, whole fruit, green salads, tomatoes or salsa, and then also other vegetables. So again, this is a pilot study. It's not a very strong research design with no control group. But I do think this is preliminary evidence that suggests that this is an area where we need to look further into. We are very interested in following this up with trying to place farm stands at schools. I mean, we really see the school in these neighborhoods as a pretty central hub of activities. And other things are starting to happen at these schools. And I think placing farm stands at these schools could be just an ideal way to kind of round it out. And it was actually in the focus groups that I mentioned earlier, farm stands at schools were mentioned as a good way to do this. I also would like to try CSAs at schools, the community supported agriculture boxes. One presenter a couple of days ago, I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, mentioned that they tried to do CSAs and it just didn't work very well because of transportation issues. Again, I think if we try to do this at the schools, most parents are at these schools, especially these schools, these are neighborhood schools, so parents walk, or they may drive, but a lot of them walk to the schools. So I think this could be a really neat opportunity as well. So that's kind of moving forward, that's what we would like to be doing. Lessons learned, I have like 1 minute left. I think the door-to-door recruitment was very important, but it was very difficult. This is my first time to have to do this, and it was such a learning experience. I mean, we had data collectors being chased by dogs, we had to buy maize, and it was very interesting, but again, I think it's a really, we need to start doing that type of recruitment, because that's where we truly see a more random sample than I think than we normally see. So I would like to conclude by thanking all the farmers that participated in our study and the staff at the Sustainable Food Center, who are just wonderful, and then the Mike and Susan Dell Foundation for making this study possible. Thank you.
We have time for a question if anyone had about one question. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually something we really thought about, because the Sustainable Food Center, I mean, they're really strong supporters of the farmers and are very much advocates, so they want to make sure that we don't overextend the farmers. And so what happened with this study is the farmers were coming into Austin anyway on Wednesday afternoons for a big farmers market, so what they were doing, they were coming in a little bit earlier. So in terms of travel, it didn't cost them as much in terms of time. So it was really an ideal situation. So I think in every situation is going to be different, but I think if people try to combine it with other activities, it may be very feasible.
Thank you. If there's time for other questions, we after all of the presentations, we will take them. There were two announcements that I should have made at the beginning and didn't. One is that this is organized by the food and nutrition section, and the other is that none of the speakers had any relevant financial disclosures.